You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
And thank you to all of you for having me here today. I have so much love and respect for this church and this community. I want to thank Pastor Graham and Chris and Pastor Andy and Cass as well. Lovely to meet you guys today. And also Pastor Daniel and Lauren, thank you so much for having me today. I do believe that I have a word for you. Hopefully will encourage you in your faith and encourage you to keep pressing in to what God has for you as a young adults ministry and as a church this year. And hopefully it's something for you all of value. So you ready for the word? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your house today. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would meet us here right now. If there's something that we don't know, would you show it to us? Something that we can't see, would you light it up in front of us? Holy Spirit, if there's something that we don't have, would you give it to us? We thank you for this time. We pray that you would use it to shape us into the likeness of Jesus. We pray that it would go towards helping this church become a church and continue to be a church that would bring you glory and honor. We thank you for your word, for that it's powerful, for everything that it is and everything that it does in us. And God, we pray that you would bless this time in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about something that happened a couple of years ago when I went fishing with my brothers-in-law. Now, I will be the first one off the bat to say that I am a terrible fisherman. I didn't grow up fishing, don't know anything about fishing. And my father-in-law, knowing this, organized a five-hour charter boat experience for all of us brothers-in-laws to go out and try and get the help that we need to find and catch something. And so we're out in Western Port Bay, and as we were driving there, I was telling the boys in the van on the way, out of jest, I said, "Boys, I just want you to know, I'm feeling it today. I'm going to head out in that boat and catch a gummy shark this big." And they said, "Ev, no way. It's not going to happen. Blah, blah, blah. It's just not in your wheelhouse." So, cool, no worries. And the charter boat experience continued, and we were having a bit of a slow time because nothing was happening, no fish were biting. If you've ever fished in Western Port Bay, you'll know that to be a very familiar kind of experience. And then it got towards the end of the charter boat time, and one of my brothers-in-law was sitting on the couch. One of them was kind of in the esky getting a sandwich. One of them was having a doze over in the corner. And if you haven't noticed yet, I like to pace around. So I was pacing around up and down the boat, just kind of waiting for this time to finish, when all of a sudden, the fishing rod went do-do-do-do-do-do-do. The charter boat fishing guy turned over to me and said, "Quick, grab it." All of a sudden, I am the one holding this rod and realize at this point that I am the worst possible person in the boat to be in this situation right now. I'm trying to work it out, and at this point I realize I've actually never done this before in my life. So I'm trying to wrestle with this fish. I'm trying to pull it in. I don't know how to reel it in. I don't know how to do anything. And then at this point, the fishing boat guy leans over to me and says, "So, you've never fished before, have you?" Which is the worst thing that you could possibly hear when you're in this baptism of fire trying to wrestle this animal out of the water. He's probably like, "Mate, like, it's just a little snapper. Just pull it in. You'll be right." And so I'm wrestling with this fish for a good 5 minutes. I don't know if you've ever read The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway. And if you haven't, don't worry about it. But if you have, this is what it felt like, right? I'm just wrestling with this thing, angling this thing. And eventually, we bring it in. And to my delighted surprise, it was a gummy shark this big. It was incredible. I fed about 20 people with some leftovers. And needless to say, after this experience, I just got the fishing bug. So I went out to the shop, the outdoor shop, and bought everything. Bought a rod, bought a reel, bought a camping chair, fishing shirt, hat, tackle box, fishing license. I'm ready to go. I turned to my wife and said, this is me now. I'm a fisherman. If you start your career with catching a shark, this is how it has to be. You're in the club." And so I become a fisherman. I go fishing once and find out that it wasn't as fun as the first time because I didn't catch anything. Went a second time, didn't catch anything. But it's okay at this point because I'm still on the adrenaline of coming home with the gummy shark my first time fishing, right? Went third time, caught nothing. Fourth time, caught nothing. Fifth time, I'm sitting there at this point on the pier with my stupid fishing hat and my camping chair thinking, "What is so good about this again?" and my hands smell like fish, and it's the middle of winter, and it's raining, and it's cold. I'm thinking, I'm just going to pack this up and go home. And I, since then, haven't really done much fishing at all, I will say. And the reason I bring this story up, because it can be a little bit like this with our faith. This, for some of us, it's been a long time since we've seen God move. It's been a long time since we've seen God answer a prayer. For some of us, it's been a while since we've seen God break through in a situation. Some of us have been waiting for days, weeks, months, years, contending and petitioning to the Lord, and find that we're still waiting. Waiting for God to move, waiting for God to answer that prayer that we're so earnestly contending for. Today, I want to talk to you today, taking notes. I'm calling this message, Praying with Grit. Many of us have seen the power of God to break through, but even more of us have experienced the silence and the waiting. And it's all too real at the start of the year, when things are changing and we come up with resolutions and we're excited and we've got our Vision Sundays in church life. And I heard you had a phenomenal Vision Sunday. That was this morning. Was it not? Yeah, fantastic. And this is such a church with great vision. And I just pray, if you're looking for a church, you've found a good one here. Get yourself planted. You will not be sorry. And it's a time of year where we're looking to God for the new thing. And in January, we're starting new resolutions and new things. And God, I'm believing for this. And God, I'm believing for that. And then February ticks over and those resolutions start to wane. That gym membership that you signed up for might not be as appealing in February as it was in January. You find that as the year ticks over again, that we're still waiting, we're still believing, we're still asking God to move. Anyone who is going to take prayer seriously is going to run headlong into the most mysterious aspect of prayer. When God doesn't seem to be who I thought he was, when God doesn't seem to be doing what I thought he would be doing or should be doing, and suddenly a space that is supposed to be about intimacy and beauty and delight becomes one of frustration and confusion. Now, there's lots of reasons as to why this is, and I could throw some kind of pithy slogans to you as to why God doesn't answer the prayers in the timing that we would like, but I would actually like to give you a book to go and read, because we don't have time within the scope of this message to create a kind of robust theology around unanswered prayer. That's not the purpose. That's not why I'm here. But if we got it on the screen, or no, all good. The book is called Engaging the Silence of Unanswered Prayer, God on Mute by Pete Greg. Now, your pastors don't know I've recommended that book, so if you've got a problem with it, don't email them, email me, okay? You can chew the meat, spit the bones, you'll agree with some things, you might not, as your discernment sees fit. But it's a fantastic read on this subject. It's why God makes us wait sometimes for prayer. Because the Bible is far more open about persistent prayer and even unanswered prayer than the church often is. The reality is, the life happens, faith weakens, temptations attack, the devil oppresses, needs overwhelm, sickness comes, finances disappear, loneliness can suffocate, friends betray. In addition, decisions paralyze, worries strangle, and careers stall. However, we still have to believe as a church that there is only one reliable option to responding to the things you would change if you could, but you've tried and you can't. It's what Moses did when the burden of leading the children of Israel got the best of him. It's what King Jehoshaphat did when he did not know what to do about the coalition of nations that were planning to attack God's people. It's what Nehemiah did when he received the bad news about the broken down walls of Jerusalem. It's what David did as he hid in a cave to escape Saul, who sought to take his life. It's what Daniel did before an open window, even though he knew that it would land him in a lion's den. It was what Paul and Silas did in the middle of the night. They sat in jail on trumped up charges. It's what the church did in Mary's house in the book of Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. It says this: it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with the approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread, and after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. Verse 5, so Peter was in prison, but the church. Everyone say, but the church. That hits me right in my spirit. Peter was in prison, but the church. Where am I? Got excited. Was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. What a story. Honestly, what an incredible action sequence that we have here. The church was earnestly praying for Peter, and he gets up and the shackles fall off his wrists and he walks out free. It's one of the most incredible stories in the book of Acts, and that's saying something, amen? But in the middle of this incredible story, we can't afford to miss the subtext of what is happening here in the church. Because whilst they're praying for Peter, they have just lost James. It takes faith to pray for Peter when you've just lost James. It means they're engaging God in fervent, earnest prayer on the back of God not answering their last one. It is incredible, this kind of faith that we are invited into. In the book of Acts, I see this incredible, mature, robust faith that, yes, it dances with the glory of God, and they walk with purpose and identity and power, and they see incredible signs and wonders in their midst, and they know the Spirit is with them, and it's just so incredible. But they also wait and walk with God through the mystery, taking steps of obedience and praying and praying and praying earnestly, even though sometimes they don't know and don't see what it will look like. Have you ever had to believe God for something when he didn't answer the last thing that you prayed about? Man, that takes some faith. Whether we like to admit it or not, our faith gets knocked every time our expectations aren't met. It takes genuine, mature, real, Spirit-filled faith to believe God for a miracle on the back of an unanswered prayer. Matthew 7:7 says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So no matter what we are walking through, no matter what we have seen, no matter how many prayers we've seen God answer or God not, the invitation is here from the Lord Jesus to ask and keep on asking, to knock and keep on knocking, to seek and keep on seeking, with the knowledge that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to bring it to completion, that God has got good things in store for us, that he's not going to give his children a stone when they ask for bread. And he asks us to keep on praying, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, with the knowledge that just because we haven't seen God do it doesn't mean he will not do it yet. We got to pray with grit. Sometimes we pray and it happens straight away, and that's awesome. Other times we keep on praying, we keep on praying, we keep on praying. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this to be encouraging but also immensely challenging. Surely I'm not alone at being dissatisfied with my own attempts at prayer. Dissatisfied is how often I desire to pray, and when I start, how quickly I want to stop. How routine the words that I use can be. And sometimes they feel they're representative of a static relationship with the Father when it should be something that is dynamic and real and powerful. Surely I'm not alone in that. To the extent that that is true of us, we do find ourselves in good company this evening. Jesus tells us a parable in Luke chapter 18. The context is that he's telling his disciples that he's going to go away and there's going to be a time lag between when I go away and when I return. Now, given what I know about you fellas, about your propensity to get downhearted and lose heart and put your chin down in your chest when things don't go your way, I'm going to tell you a story as to how to encourage you to keep praying and not give up when it gets difficult. Given there's going to be delay, I want to make sure that you persist in faith, persist in prayer, persist in asking. What is Jesus' response to those who find ourselves asking without receiving an answer, seeking without finding, knocking without being welcomed in? How does Jesus respond to the real deep questions of those praying faithfully, waiting patiently, and beginning to grow weary? It is persistence. And depending on your context, on your story, what I'm telling you tonight might even sound quite offensive and difficult. Some of us have been believing for things for years, seasons, some of us decades. And yet Jesus, knowing this is going to be something of a bitter pill to swallow, tells us a story to encourage us in our prayer. Are we excited to get into it tonight? Okay. So I want to break this down into three parts. It's the parable of the persistent widow, also known as the parable of the unjust judge. Breaking it into three parts. We're going to look at the purpose of the story. We're going to look at the explanation, what's happening, because it's a bit of a funny, peculiar story that Jesus tells. It's not as straightforward as some of the other ones, so it needs some explaining, it needs some kind of weaving through. And then we're going to look at the application so we have something to take away with us to stand firm and pray with perseverance and pray with grit. Amen. So Luke chapter 18, verse 1, we're going to read this out of the ESV. So it says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." The purpose here is laid out right at the beginning. Unlike other stories where we have to kind of work out what Jesus is trying to teach us as we go along, right? He tells us right out of the bat here. I want to tell you this story so you can pray and not lose heart. Jesus tells us this parable because he knows that his disciples will be tempted to lose heart along the way. The term lose heart means to give up. It means to pack it in. It means to kind of throw the white flag and say, I'm quitting here. What is clear is that every single one of us in our own personal walk and corporately as a church face a battle to pray. It seems like sometimes everything comes against prayer. You finally carved out some prayer time, and then the phone rings. You finally carved out some time to be with the Lord, and you got your Bible there and your journal and your cup of tea, you're ready to go, and then all of a sudden all the worries flood your mind. Thinking about the kids, you're thinking about work, you're thinking about all the things you've got to do, you're thinking about school, you're thinking about university, and it just seems like everything, it's like the devil knows that it's hard to pray, amen? For some of us, we get distracted, and I know I'm a pastor of a church, and I put myself in this boat. I get distracted sometimes in prayer meetings. Am I alone? So we have a prayer meeting every Tuesday morning at our church, and I'll be the first one to say that there have been times where my attention has wandered in those prayer meetings. We'll be in a prayer meeting, and we'll have some faithful people just grabbing a hold of the power and glory of God, and we're like, God, we're just believing for this, and we're contending for this, and Lord, we're just healing in Jesus' name, and signs and wonders in Jesus' name, and salvations in Jesus' name, and then I'll kind of see in the corner of the room, and I'll be like, oh, that's a nice tree over there, and I'll be thinking, I wonder, does anyone water that tree? And then, no, it can't be watered because it's an indoor tree. And okay, if it doesn't water, I wonder who's responsible for like cleaning and making, like zhuzhing it up and making sure it's like bright for Sunday. Oh, I wonder if maybe I should go and do that later. And I'll go and take it on myself. And then all of a sudden, the person in the prayer meeting just breaks through the silence of that and goes, and in Jesus' mighty name, amen. And you snap out of it and you realize you haven't had prayer time, you've had tree time, right? And it can be so like this. We can get distracted with so many things in prayer life. Some of us feel inadequate sometimes to pray. We can be sitting in such a great community of faith like this, and I'm sure you've got some incredible prayer warriors who just get on their knees and seek the Lord to move in power. And you're like, man, I can't pray like that. Those guys have like some kind of special relationship with Jesus. How can I'm just not powerful enough. You've got to know that God is with you. God loves it when we ask. God loves it. Doesn't matter how long you've been walking as a Christian. Doesn't matter how much Bible you know, how long you've been here. Guess what? God just loves you and wants to hear from you. There's so many things that get in the way of our prayer, but the purpose here is stated clearly: to encourage regular and persistent prayer. When you feel faint of heart, don't give up. When you're tired of praying, don't give up. When you feel like tree time is getting in the way of your prayer time, don't give up. Some of us have quit too soon for things that we're believing for. Some of us have got troubles at home in our marriage, and we've stopped praying for it. Some of us have got children who have walked away from the Lord, and we're getting tired of praying. Some of us have got people in our life, we just want them to meet Jesus. We want so badly for them to know the hope and to be filled with His Spirit and to have this thing, this amazing treasure that we have, and we're just getting tired of praying, getting tired of waiting. Some of us got challenges in our workplace, in our relationships, challenges with our supervisors or with our colleagues, and we've just stopped praying. Whatever it might be, the instruction is and the encouragement is to keep on knocking, keep on praying. How much do we want the things that we're praying for? I'm not going to be put off by the fact that the thing I'm asking for, I haven't received it yet. I'm going to keep on contending. I'm going to keep on believing. And I'm going to keep on asking God in Jesus' name to come good on His promises over my life, over your life, over the life of my church, over the life of this church, over whatever He wants to do in this world. Amen? So secondly, let's look at the parable itself. Luke 18, chapter 2, verse 7, 2 to 7 is... again, out of the ESV, he said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? And it's here in this parable, what we have is two characters that Jesus gives us, not by way of comparison, but by way of contrast. The two characters that are in the story, firstly, are the unjust judge, who is in a position of power in this empire, and he's occupying the seat of power, and to him comes this woman who is a widow. This judge doesn't like people, doesn't like God, he's doing his own thing, he's really not that much of a good dude at all. Now, we can't take this story and say our God is like the unjust judge, okay? That would be heretical, that would be terrible. You guys would kick me out and never have me back ever again, right? But what Jesus does is actually contrast the behavior of the judge with the character and goodness of our God. He's saying, if an unjust judge would give this widow what she's asking for on the back of her persistent prayer, how much more your Father in heaven, who is good and right and just and loves you and sees you and holds you in his hands, how much more will he answer the persevering prayers of his faithful people? And the second character we have here is the widow. And again, this is given to us as a kind of contrast as well. In that day, a widow was seen as one of the kind of lower echelons of society. There's lots of Old Testament law around the protection of widows. In fact, Jesus often taught about widows. There's a lot of New Testament teaching in that space as well. So what she is a symbol for someone who really has nothing. She's lost her livelihood. She's lost her right to even come into the courtroom and ask the judge for anything. And yet here she is, earnestly persisting and petitioning the judge for justice in her situation. And the contrast here is that if a widow, who in that society had nothing, no identity, no status, no value, nothing of worth at all, can receive from the judge on the back of her persistent prayer, how much more the children of God, who are seen, who are loved, who are chosen, who have been given this incredible identity that we just sung all about, how much more will they receive and will we receive on the back of our persistent and fervent prayer? Eugene Peterson said this on the parable. Prayer is not begging God to do something that he doesn't know about, or begging God to do something for us that he's reluctant to do, or begging God to do something that he doesn't have time for. In prayer, we persistently, faithfully, trustingly come before God, submitting ourselves to his sovereignty and trusting that it will come through on our behalf. God is not a distant, unjust judge who is bothered by your asking. Your Father delights when you come to him. God loves it when you bother him. God loves it when you pester him. He's bothered by the things that you're bothered about. He sees the things on your heart. So you don't have to hide them from him. He knows it. He wants to answer your prayer. He wants to be there to meet you. He wants to be there to commune with you. And he wants to have a relationship with you in which you can have a beautiful two-way communication. Come to your Father with confidence, knowing there's a good God. He sees you where you are and where you're at. And he wants to be there for you. Now, what's interesting here is Jesus says, listen, if an unjust judge listens to an old lady just because she pesters him, don't you realize that your Father in heaven will complete the good work that he has begun in you? So that's the story. Now I want to take away a couple of application points to give you some encouragement to pray with perseverance and pray with grit and everything that God has for you this year. The first thing is that persistent prayer is hard work. Now, this widow repeatedly comes back to the judge day after day, month after month, week after week. We don't know how long. I just imagine her going like 47 times to this courthouse and just knocking on the door going, judge, justice for widows. And the judge says, no, get out. Cool, I'll see you tomorrow. So she goes home, she goes to sleep, gets up. Today's my day. Oh, it's raining. That doesn't matter. I get my umbrella. Judge, knock, knock. It's me, justice for widows. He says, no, go home. Cool. I'm going. I imagine this lady even going to his house, knocking on the living room window. Judge, justice for widows. Well, we see that this kind of prayer is actually hard work. Now, I want to just stop here because prayer in itself is a beautiful gift of grace. It is not a duty, it's a delight. Okay, it's where our heart finds its true home, and there is no greatest expression of our walk and relationship with Jesus as it's reflected in our prayer life with Him. However, the kind of prayer that Jesus is talking about here, when it's on behalf of us being petitionary prayer or on behalf of another one being intercessory prayer, is tough work. It's kind of prayer that rolls up your sleeves and gets on your knees to see the Lord move in power. It's the kind of prayer where Jesus is within the Garden of Gethsemane and He falls on His face and there's sweat dripping off His brow like blood, and He's contending to the Father with a prayer request that the Father will not give Him. This is the kind of prayer that we're called into, the kind of prayer that takes a hold of God and says, no, I'm not going to let you go until I see the promises that you've promised over my life come to fruition. I think about Jacob in the book of Genesis, and he's wrestling with this angel, and he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. There's a place in our prayer life, absolutely, for contemplative, reflective, beautiful, quiet prayer where we reflect on the beauty of God and we let Scripture meditate over us. But man, we got to cultivate a space in our heart for a kind of prayer that is fervently seeking the Lord. A kind of prayer that says, man, I'm going to hold firm on the promises that I see in the Word of God. I know that He's good. I know that He's powerful. I know that I'm filled with His Spirit. And I'm not going to stop praying until I see that thing come to pass or I see a definite no from my God. Amen. This parable speaks this kind of prayer as crying out to God from the depths of our soul. Not half-hearted, disinterested prayers. Oh Lord, if it's your will, then let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. No, no, no. Prayer that takes a hold of the power and beauty of God and says, this is what I'm building my life on. I know that God is true. I know that His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know that my God is mighty to move in power. There's a place of fervency in prayer. Hebrews 5:7 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission. If anyone says that prayer is easy, if anyone says that this kind of prayer is easy, just wait. Just wait. It will do us a great deal of good to scrap the myth that petitionary or intercessory prayer that takes grit and takes determination and takes perseverance is easy. We've got to get rid of that myth. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have given us this analogy in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. If we'd not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying when? How often? Always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Friends, what is the point of the armor if we never step on to the battlefield? Some of us are fighting battles in our life and we're losing because we're fighting the wrong ones. You think that it's physical. You think that it's natural, but it's just not. Sometimes there are things that come against us, spiritual forces of darkness. They want to oppose and oppress the work of God. And sometimes we're doing so much in our own strength to try and push this thing out of the way or try and get a resolution here or try and see this thing come to fruition when really we should be getting on our knees and seeking God to move. Friends, we've been given everything that we need to fight this good fight. You've been given everything that you need to stand firm in the Lord and believe that He's going to come good on His promises. You have been given everything that you need to stand with perseverance and continue to pray. You've been given everything that you need to fight this enemy that we are equipped to fight. How do you fight? You continue on praying. Keep praying for that job. Keep praying against that illness, for that friend who doesn't know Jesus, for that loved one who used to know Him but walked away. I think about the things that I've given up praying for. Oh, it's a long and distinguished list, friends. And I would encourage you today, If there's some things that you put on the shelf, to pick them up again and pray and pray and pray. I think about these words in James 4:2. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. James is saying that one of the reasons we don't have is because we've stopped asking. We're fighting the wrong fights. We've stepped on to the wrong battlegrounds. And I've come to the resolution, if there's one resolution that I've made this year in my own life, is that I don't want to miss out on the good things that God has for me. I certainly don't want to miss out on the good things that God has for my loved ones, for my family, and for my church, because I haven't taken the time to pray. Now, we are big boys and girls, right? I think old was the term you used, Daniel, before. But we're big boys and girls, and we're mature in faith, and this is a very healthy church, right? And we can take a no from God. We ask, and he says no. I'm cool with that. But what I can't stomach is not receiving because I didn't ask. And I would hate that for you. I would hate that for your church, Pastor Andy. I would hate that for LMC, that you would miss out on the blessing this year because you didn't seek the Lord and your church and your eldership and your leadership team and everyone here. God, would you guys please just keep petitioning the Lord to move in power in your church? Hey, and the last thing I want to finish up with is that praying with grit keeps us spiritually alert. Now, the context of this story, it's set in a whole bunch of scripture, which is all about the coming of the Lord. It's all about the return of Jesus. And that's the context in which Jesus is giving us this story, saying, hey, I'm going away, I'm coming back. And in the middle of that, you have to keep praying, keep being alert, keep watching. In the scriptures, there's a very strong correlation between waiting for Jesus and being attentive and watchful in our prayer life. And this is what Jesus is saying here. He finishes up this story with a question. Luke chapter 18, verse 8, he says, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And what we see that constantly praying, constantly being a person that prays, keeps us aware of God's presence and activity in our life. So what happens is if you are a person who persists in prayer and has prayer as a regular part of your diet in faith, what you'll find is that you're just more spiritually alert as you walk about your day. You'll be walking around in your university thinking, God, who's going to reach these people? Oh, there's a need there. Lord, I'm praying for that. Lord, oh, I can see this person is hurting over here. I'm just believing and contending for them. Oh, Lord, I'm walking through this life actively aware that the presence of God goes with me everywhere I go. And that comes, and it's really built and strengthened by being people who actively pray and persist in our life and our devotional life with Jesus. As we're waiting for Jesus to return, are we exercising our faith? Now, he's not asking if there will be believers on the earth. The Bible is very clear that there will be. What he is asking is here, this hypothetical question that I can't answer for you and you can't answer for me, and we have to kind of self-examine, is that are we a kind of people who persevere in prayer because we are a people who persevere in prayer? That when the Lord comes back, will he find that kind of perseverance in our life? Will he find that kind of faith in our heart? I just ask myself the question, if the Lord Jesus came back tonight and knocked on the door of my heart, said, would he look at me and say, Evan, wake up? And I would have to say there'd be definitely times in my life where that would be the case. I mean, I think about the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is in there in one of the darkest moment of his life, and he brings three disciples with him, and he says, can you please stand up? And just be awake and watch while I go and do this. I'm just going to pray, go seek the Lord. Can you just stay awake? And three times he comes back and they've fallen asleep. And I would hate this to be the experience of me. And this is what we're encouraged to guard ourselves against, to be constantly aware, constantly awake, constantly optimistic and hopeful and prayerful that God could be moving in our life, that we're exercising our faith, that we're believing him to do things and to work wonders in our life. Are we making prayer such an attitude of heart and mind that we are always seeking to see God move? 8 little verses, an interesting little story, a profound and unavoidable challenge. When the Son of Man comes, will he find such faith on earth? If If you've been sitting here today, I just want to encourage you. Maybe, church, could we ask standing? I'm going to close in prayer before I invite Daniel up to close up. Let's finish. Let's stand as we continue to get around the word. Maybe you've had something in your world, something in your life that you've been believing for, contending for, and you've given up. Could be a work situation, could be a family situation, maybe there's an illness or something that you've kind of just conceded, well, it's always going to be like this. I pray that today, if the Holy Spirit has awoken something in us and reminded us of something, then we can walk out of here knowing that this parable has had its effect on us. It takes faith to follow Jesus. It takes faith to persevere. It takes faith to persist. Maybe there's something in your world where you're thinking, man, it's been a long time since I believed. It's been a long time since I've held on to it. Oh, Lord, it's been a long time since I've held on to you for that. I pray that God would meet you there. I pray that God would bless you. And I pray that you will continue to have the kind of persevering faith that will keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, knowing that God has got good things for you. He loves you. He sees you. You're his chosen, beloved people. And if you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. Would you pray with me? Father, today we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help give us the faith to persevere. Give us the faith to keep on asking. Give us the faith to keep on knocking. Give us the faith to keep on believing. That we stand here knowing that on this day where we had Vision Sunday as a church, that the best days of this church are still ahead of it. God, that you're going to do amazing things. You're going to do signs and wonders and miracles. There's going to be people getting saved, people getting discipled, people being transformed into the image of the Son, Father. We just pray that you would give us the faith and stamina to keep contending for your work to be done and your kingdom to be expanded in this community. Father, we thank you for this house. We thank you for these people. And Lord, we thank you. There is not one promise that you are slow to give and slow to come good on. Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power and goodness in our life. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.